Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there. And welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. This week, I am delighted to have with me Mrs. Sarah Turner, aka the Unmumsy Mum. Welcome!
Ooh, thank you! Hello!
Hello, hello! Welcome, welcome. For those of you who don't know, Sarah is a blogger. She is huge on social media. I follow her. Every single mum I know follows her. She gives us all hope. She lets us all know that we're not alone. So I'm delighted to have you here.
Really. Thank you for having me. Huge on social media and huge in real life, where I feel it at the moment.
It totally preggers though.
Totally preggers, yeah. Just basically huge.
Well, that's good. I love it. I love the hugeness right now. you're all huge. You're a lovely size.
I feel like a double-decker bus, but there we go.
Third time around, do you feel bigger than the other two?
It can be quite deceiving, can't it? Yeah. I can remember with Henry being like, I've got such a lovely, neat bump. And then James never having the heart to tell me, actually, I just kind of put weight on behind, like from behind. I was like, yeah. I've never really glowed, but that's fine.
Oh, really? I can't see you glowing.
Do you? It's just my bronzer.
I always think it's a bit mum sweat. Yeah. I'm permanently glowing these days.
Yeah.
Sarah, tell me, what kind of mum did you think you were going to be before you actually became a mum? Let's start there.
Probably kind of a classic case of expectation versus reality. Mm-hmm. I had all these ideas and visions of what I was going to be like as a mother. Yeah. I basically failed to measure up to any of them because they were probably really unattainable, like, in the first place.
I thought I was going to be like, I don't know, Maria from The Sound of Music, to be honest.
I just thought that there would be some kind of maternal, almost like a cloak that would be bestowed upon me when I gave birth, that then you would just know how to do things and you would just, I don't know, automatically be somebody that kind of glides through motherhood. I imagined having at least one child strapped to my person at all times in some kind of a sling or a wrap that I would be proficient at, you know, wrapping as I kind of made homemade foods. I imagined myself kind of making homemade pesto and maybe even homemade pasta, you know, just stuff because I'd have the time because the kids would be like napping on me or what have you. And then what happened was basically I soon realized that nothing is quite as straightforward as you imagine that it will be. And I'm nothing like the mum I imagined. I don't think I'm a worse version of her. I'm just completely different, a more realistic version.
Yeah. Really?
You know, I never thought I would be one of those mums who shouts.
Yeah.
And I just have no patience as a mum compared to the patience I think I've kind of acquired in everyday life. So work and stuff, I think I'm quite patient.
It's very repetitive though, isn't it?
It just nothing pushes your kind of impatience, frustration button like children that won't put their shoes on or children that tell you that they don't need to go to the toilet when they clearly do and then you're kind of knee deep in it. I just find that I hear myself shouting and I think, that is not what I thought.
Yeah.
That is not what I thought I would be like.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that that's the same for so many people.
I think so. I think, because I can remember growing up being in shops and,
you know, my mum will disagree with me here, but I can remember being dragged out, and she used to hiss at us actually, wait till I get you home, or we're going to go home right now, you know, and all of that, where we just have to stand, like sit on the change room floor and just watch her try loads of clothes on. And when, you know, we used to get shouted at home and stuff, and I can remember being like, no, that's not going to be us. But
no.
You know, and no. I just feel it, you know. I try and be patient. I try.
Oh, I just thought I won't need to shout because I'll have enforced boundaries.
There we go.
There'll be boundaries and my children will just adhere to them at all times. And actually I've read up on quite a lot of parenting methods, you know, kind of like gentle parenting, doing this, doing that, ways to make sure that you don't psychologically damage your child forever. And then there I am in the middle of Tesco Express shouting, will you get here? And thinking I've become the kind of mum that I probably would have judged from afar before I became a mum. So maybe that's my comeuppance to kind of be like, there you go. You secretly thought, oh, that's a little bit Jeremy Kyle, isn't it? And now you are that person.
Judgment's a really hard thing, isn't it? I think before I had kids, I probably looked at other people, like you just said, and gone, oh, well, dummies, for instance, for me, I was like, my child will not need a pacifier. They will have me. They will be loved. Stick in that dummy. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just, and that's what they need. But I think it's so difficult not to judge until you're actually in it. And you're kind of like, now I'm like, whatever works for you works.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the things that we forget is that when you see somebody in public, so perhaps there's been a meltdown, or some kind of tantrum, and that could be the child or the parent, but you see kind of a scene unfolding. And what you never see is a million and one incidents that run up to that boiling point. So you haven't seen them taking their shoes off repeatedly in the car or throwing them at daddy's head or, you know, all that kind of stuff that happens. The mummy, 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 mummy when you're trying to park. So you just, all you see is the boiling point, the kind of bit where mum or dad snaps and says, oh, I've had enough of you. And so it's probably easy to think, oh, well, you know, that's not very nice. That child was just asking a sensible question. But when they've asked 11 billion questions before that, it's kind of, you know, understandable for them to be like, oh, you know, just leave me in peace. I have to be honest, there have been times when I've kind of, you know, when you say things under your breath.
Yeah.
And the other day I just found myself saying, kind of silently, or not silently, but quietly in the kitchen, oh, will you just go away? And I thought, that's really terrible, isn't it? That's my children. Can you just go away? Please just go away. I can't cope.
Well, then you're kind of going, but don't please, because if that did ever happen, then I'd be lost.
Well, exactly, yeah. And then you see something on the news that, allows your head to go there and you think, I'll never shout at you ever again. No. I'll just cover you with love and kisses and then, it's just it's the kind of rage, guilt cycle.
Yeah. Well, also, I think you're with such unreasonable human beings most of the time.
it kind of rubs off a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's just irrational as well, isn't it? It's when you can't. I actually love toddlers because I think we could learn a lot from toddlers if we were all a little bit more like Jude, who's nearly three. Sometimes I think to myself, kind of, what would Jude do? Because Jude doesn't do anything that he doesn't want to do, which is quite annoying and at times embarrassing. But also there's something to be said for that. So if you take Jude to an organised singing class and you go, everybody join in, and he doesn't want to join in, he just doesn't join in. He just puts his fingers in his ears or pouts or says, no, thank you, or, you know, stomps his foot and walks out. I think, how many times do we as adults get dragged into things we don't want to do and plaster a false smile on and be like, yeah, this is great. Like, so we should just all pout and stamp our foot and be like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm leaving.
Sometimes I do feel like that is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Maybe there's something in that. I don't know.
Maybe every Friday. Every Friday.
Toddler Friday.
Toddler Friday. Let's start it.
Yeah, exactly. But then the flip side of that is the irrational kind of... So Jude gets very upset about his yogurt. So basically, when he has a yogurt, he gets annoyed if the lid's on, so he wants you to take the lid off for him.
Right.
But then he's annoyed that the lid's off because he also still wants the lid to be on.
Of course he does.
So we kind of have lid gate. And I just, every time I just think, I don't, yeah, I'm going to have to, I don't know, give them something else instead. I just can't.
We have that with like bananas or like little bars at the moment. If they're given to them and they break, it's because they're broken.
That's broken. That's damaged. Yeah.
Why would they want that broken
fix
banana?
It. You yeah. fix that. You fix that granola bar.
At the moment, it's trying to just stick things back together. It's like it's really not gonna.
No,
not
I
gonna
know.
Work there.
I know, and even sometimes with Henry, who's five, he would be annoyed if that happened, and he's now past the stage where you can go no, because that's even better because now you've got two. He just looks at me like I'm not. I've done a year in reception, Mum. I'm not stupid anymore. I know loads of stuff.
Does it really change things when they go to school?
It does and it doesn't. Like when Henry started school, I thought it was like I honestly felt like he was going away. He was like, you know, being evacuated as like a war child, and I'd never see him again, even though it's only like 9 till 3:20. But it's you just feel like you're losing them a little bit, I think. But it's amazing, like the them coming back and being able, like the frustration of trying to read and stuff with you know, it's provided endless difficulties of trying to sound things out phonetically as they tell you to from school. But then when he picks up a book and can read even a few words, and you think, oh my god, that's actually amazing. Yeah. You know, it's quite exciting. But yeah, they become complete know-it-alls if they weren't already. So Henry kind of has within about a term, it was like, oh, whatever, whatever, Mum, with a little eye roll. And I was like, you are four. You did not speak to me like that.
Know your place, son.
Yeah. Oh dear.
So at what part of having Henry, did you only have Henry when you started the blog?
Yes, I did, yeah. So Henry was a year old when I wrote my first blog post. I'd gone back to work part-time at Exeter University, so had a job, kind of like a mostly admin, really. And I was just a little bit disillusioned with the whole parenting bubble that I'd kind of seen online, I guess, and in magazines as well. But
I think at that time as well, it would have all been very glossy.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there were the non-glossy alternatives around, but I didn't know where to look for them. So I certainly didn't follow any parenting blogs at that time, but I'd seen like food blogs and, you know, other stuff. So I knew that blogging had become this thing that anybody could just type, upload and share a post. And I was like, I loved writing, so I was like, I might just give that a go. And it was just like therapy. Like, I obviously had no followers, zero. I'm sure my husband thought I was a bit crazy. Like, what are you doing? I'm blogging. Like, this, we don't do a lot of that.
Had a really rubbish day and I'm going to write about it.
Exactly.
Get it out.
You're not going to be safe either. You will be mentioned. But it was honestly just something to do that kind of, I wanted to outpour kind of like the truth, nothing but the truth, which wasn't very pretty. I started with a post about Henry's birth, and then soon went, I think my second blog post I ever wrote, which had about four hits, and I think three of those were mine, was other mums must be lying, because that's kind of how I felt at the time. But it was mad. And then within a year or so, it just kind of, I think mostly when I put it on to Facebook, it just kind of exploded and a few posts went viral, as they say.
It's crazy, isn't it, how taking something on there can literally just take it to so many places and so many people.
It is crazy. Like, it's really scary, but it's also really exciting because it means anybody's got that opportunity. But it did get to the point where it was odd because I hadn't told anybody at work that I had a blog.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't need to, because it was just a little hobby.
Did you have photos on there or anything?
I did, but they weren't really identifying. I had no photos of me. I hadn't put my name on there anywhere. So it was kind of anonymous in that sense. And then the more it got on Facebook, and there were a couple of pictures of Henry and stuff that people at work started to notice and talk about it amongst themselves because they realised I hadn't told them. So you start to feel like you're being talked about. And in the end, I had to have this, like, in the team meeting, I had to kind of come out as a blogger and be like, yes, that is my child, that you know, because they were sort of shutting down browsers. It's her. It's definitely her. And then I left. So that was it.
Did you find it weird suddenly? Because obviously having it like quite anonymous.
Yeah.
And, you know, literally writing for you really at the start. Did you find it weird then suddenly when loads of people know about you and your family?
Yeah, really. I did find it really weird. I still do. I still do find it odd. And sometimes I think it's great and it's really fun. And sometimes I have that anxiety, like pang of, oh my god, this was kind of never the plan, because I didn't kind of look ahead and think this would happen.
Well, it hasn't really happened. When you started, it happened.
No,
it
hadn't.
Wasn't really that.
No, it was weird. I think the thing, it freaked me out the first couple of times when I had messages from people to tell me that, you know, when people message you, you must get it all the time, but where people message you and say, oh, I saw you at such and such. But, you know, when they haven't come to say hello, they've just told you, you know, I saw you at such and such. This is what you're wearing. This is what you're talking to your husband about. But I had a couple where, and we've been on holiday in Cornwall, and somebody had messaged and said, oh, I saw you. Actually, no, I didn't see you, but I recognised your children playing on the beach and Henry was wearing these coloured shorts and blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of had that eerie, like, oh, that's really weird.
I'm being watched.
It wasn't weird at all. She was actually just being really nice, saying, I didn't want to come and interrupt your family, you know, day, but I just wanted to let you know, I really love your blog and blah, 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 blah. But obviously hadn't thought that kind of describing exactly what we were doing in the ice creams that we were eating in great detail would have made me go, ah, that's a bit
strange. Does it make you paranoid though? Like, say one of the kids has a meltdown, like I experienced this. How you handle it? Does it kind of make you go, we're in public right now? And
I don't know. I suppose I actually feel more relaxed because
if they kick off, I'm your mum's around, people.
It's kind of on brand. I'm like, see, I wasn't lying.
I'll post about this later.
Yeah, Henry did actually have. I went when we were shopping for holiday clothes. We were in Next in Exeter a couple of years ago actually. Jude was in his pram, was kicking off. I'd kind of tried to placate him with a number of snack bribes that he was kind of getting through, and I was getting sort of panicky, and Henry was just, he'd just lost it. So he was like climbing under, you know, crawling under rails of clothes, taking all the bras off the shelf, you know, kind of everything. And I noticed this woman looking at me then, and she messaged me afterwards and said, oh, I didn't know if I should come and say, like, do you need a hand? Because your kids were kind of sort of really kicking off. But she said, all I could think to myself was, oh, she's not lying when she says they're pickles in public. I said, yeah, pickles. That's one word for it. So I think, yeah, I'm not, it would be harder if you had a really glossy kind of our life is perfect, you know, perfect type
in a way dog. I think you have actually let us all off the hook, you know, because I think before you came along for me, and you know, I became a mum, and I think Buzz was really young when I read the post that you've written about the mum in the red coat.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through the post?
Yes. So, yeah, an open letter to the mum with the red coat was a post I wrote. I think it must have been about 2015-ish. And I know that because it's the point at which everything kind of exploded. And basically it was based on me having been to the park and spotting this woman who was having just like a nightmare of a day. She had a fairly newborn baby that would just, you just couldn't settle, you know, when there's nothing that you can do. She had a toddler that was throwing things off the top of the climbing frame and telling her that he wanted a new mummy and that she was rubbish and, you know, all the rest of it. And she just looked mortified, like she was expecting that everybody was sort of judging her maybe. And she kept saying things. We all do it as parents, where you say things out loud to directed at your children, but they're not really directed at your children. They're for the benefit of everybody else, so that other people don't think that you're a terrible parent. Yeah. So she was saying things like, oh, we don't throw our shoes off the climbing frame, do we, sweetheart? And then to the baby, oh, but you've just been fed. Yeah. Almost as if she was anticipating that we were thinking, can you just feed him? Because he's been crying for half an hour or whatever. And I think I made a comment that I then later thought perhaps had been taken the wrong way, because I went, oh, nightmare, aren't they? Wanting to offer solidarity and saying, God, mine can be just the same, like nightmare. But I wonder if she interpreted it as me being like, your kids are a nightmare. So the letter, the open letter I wrote to her, which basically just to say, you know, somebody's kids have to be the worst behaved in the park at any one time, and at some point they'll be yours, and don't expect that people are judging you, like we've got your back kind of thing. I have no idea if she ever read it, but I get lots of messages from people that say, I'm the red coat mum today. You know, that's me, I've just had my moment.
You don't know if she read it.
I've got no idea. No, nobody ever got in contact and said, oh, like, that was, you know,
I can literally remember reading it, and just, I mean, it made me cry, but it made me feel good as well, because I can remember when Buzz was younger, I signed us up for so many groups, too many groups.
I
signed us up for four, I think, four a week. And I can literally remember being in there, and my whole time in there, you know, it's meant to be about your bond and how they're amazing, mother and baby. And all I was doing was thinking in my head, please don't cry, please don't cry, please don't cry.
Yeah.
I'd literally time it so that I could feed him before we went in. I'd have the dummy there just in case, but then I would hate getting that out of the bag because then I'd feel judged.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think I felt that really early on when he was a baby.
Yeah.
So to read that post made me go, Oh, yeah. There are so many other people actually that feel that.
You always feel like you stick out like a sore thumb and that you're not coping and everybody else is having a much better day than you and everybody else is much more kind of competent than you. That was, I felt like there should be an exam as to whether or not you should be a mum or not. And if there had been, I would have been like, you know, E-.
Most of us would fail, wouldn't we?
Well, I think that is my opinion, that nobody's prepared. No. You just cannot prepare for it.
Well, and even now, though, so, you know, we've both got two boys.
Yeah.
And even now, I would say, so I'm 3 years in, I kind of know what I'm doing, but I'm still winging it on a daily basis. We could have a great day and then half an hour of absolute mayhem, which would lead to me crying in the kitchen where the boys can't see me. And then, you know, then one of them will say, oh, I love you, Mama. And, you know, that all evaporates.
There's different challenges at every stage. Yeah. I remember wanting to punch people in the face that told me, oh, it's only a phase for anything. Anything's only a phase, like teething, you know, colic, whatever it might be. Oh, it's only a phase. Or when they say, oh, you'll never get this time again. And I would think, thank God, because I never want this time again. This time is rubbish. But it generally is only a phase. And all that happens is you kind of upgrade or transition your troubles into new ones. So then now there's a whole base of, you know, school-based dramas and you have that whole trying not to be a competitive parent, but secretly thinking, you know, or why has he been moved into that group when they haven't been moved into that group? Or, you know, it's a whole new challenge. But I do feel like pregnant with baby boy number three. we definitely make boys in our house. That I am so much more relaxed, like, going into it, because my expectations are so much more realistic this time. I mean,
how did you feel the jump from one to two?
The jump from one to two, I didn't find anywhere near as bad as the jump from none to one.
Yeah, same as
us. I just think the first baby hurricane is just like, whoa, what even is this? I mean, there are obviously difficulties trying to juggle everything. Mm. And I remember having, and I think it's quite common, having that emotional like doubt as to how I could possibly love something as much as I love Henry, you know, like almost like I was cheating on Henry by having another baby. And now I'm like, oh, I've got to split the love even more ways. But I don't think you do split it. I think you just get more. Yeah.
And I can remember with Buzz being like, I love you less. But actually seeing how he interacted with Buddy straight away, scooping him up and giving him kisses, my heart just exploded for him. You know?
I remember feeling like it took me a little while longer to get to know Jude because I was also trying to parent a toddler that was, you know, in the midst of potty training and all the rest of it. So I can remember kind of looking at him when he was about 4 or 5 months old and kind of feeling like, I've fed you and I've bathed you and I've done all of that, but I haven't like got to know you yet. And I remember having this conversation with my husband. He was like, "You're literally nuts. Like, what are you talking about? Look at him." And he's just there. You know, there's not a lot of expression, is there? He's just kind of looking at me from his little suit. And he's like, "And you're worried. You know, what do you want? What do you want to know? What do you want to know about him? He likes milk. Yeah, no, that's true. But I didn't kind of stare as intently at him and take as many pictures of him, and I couldn't tell you any of his milestones. Like, no. I couldn't tell you when Jude's first tooth came through or when he rolled over for the first time.
Literally, or... I looked in his mouth one day and put his mouth, and I was like, Jesus, you got two teeth.
He's got full set.
How did that happen? When?
No, I know. That is, and also the like, how old are they thing.
Oh, gosh.
With Henry, I probably could have told you how old he was in days until he was about 2.5. And also, you could have said, like, oh, you know, what people can, like, insist on talking in weeks, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, he's 42 weeks, actually, or whatever. With Jude, I would literally be like, three quarters of a year, I think, like something like that.
I can remember being at my neighbour's house, actually, and I think Buddy must have only been about 7 or 8 weeks old, and our neighbour's mum had said, oh, how old is he now? Yeah. And I think she turned to my neighbour and was like, how old is he?
Yeah, and the same with birthdays. Like, my husband will openly admit he does not know our second child's birthday. He just doesn't know it. I don't think he even knows the year. So it's just like, when was Jude born? And I kind of like, no, this is that. So the third one, literally, there's no hope for him. He'll be dragged up. One day I'll be like, oh, he's got a full set of teeth and he's walking, luckily.
Do you struggle with, like, the negative stuff?
I do. It depends what nature of negativity it is. If it's just outright trolling, i.e. below the line comments on the Mail Online, then I don't struggle at all. In fact, I would happily read those comments for hours because they're just hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, they just make me weep.
Oh, do they?
Literally, yeah, they just make me...
Just read them out. Those don't bother me at all. The comments that I find really hard are where I feel like I've been misunderstood.
Yeah.
So where I feel like the message that I'm kind of trying to give out, which generally is a message of we're all in it together, everybody has bad days, don't beat yourself up, you know, that sort of thing. I think if you read, if you take any one of my kind of social media posts in isolation, they're out of context. You could quite understandably be like, well, she doesn't seem very grateful for the life that she's got with a loving husband and two lovely boys and another child on the way. Putting yourself on the internet is like you're opening yourself up to attack, potentially, when you're actually kind of at your most vulnerable. I suppose my tactic is always to remember that you kind of never know what somebody else is going through or what battles that they're facing. So when somebody sends me an angry message and I try and then not be angry about that and think, well, actually, you know, you do have to be a bit sensitive to, I don't know, the needs and wants and struggles of other people. You know, so many people I follow on social media that have, you know, that aren't able to conceive or have had multiple miscarriages or have lost, you know, children, where you just think, oh my God, you know, it's really sobering. You think, and I've had moments where I'm just going to shut it all down. Then you take stock of all the messages from people that are like, I've had such a terrible day and your blog's really helped me to not feel rubbish. Mm. And you think, actually, I feel like, no, I am doing something important too. So it's just, you know, you can't please all of the people, yeah, all of the time. So
you can't. So you have now written two books.
Yes.
Your Mumsy Mum and the Mumsy Mum Diaries.
I have, yeah.
Book three, baby three, book three.
I am going to write a third book, but I'm certainly not doing a Mumsy third baby out in the summer. No, I felt like I wouldn't be able to write any book content about a baby who's not yet here.
Yeah, yeah.
It just would feel like the most almighty of jinxing. Yeah. So I'm sure having three children and that the experience of that will lend itself to another book. Mm. But I don't think it'll be specifically baby three.
Yeah.
Related, but I'm sure I keep getting messages from people that are like, you wait until they're teenagers, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm like, please write I'm Mumsy the teenage years. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I'll be able to, because I'm not sure I'll be able to document the things that they get up to as teenagers. Got three boys.
Oh gosh.
So there's no immediate book three plans, but the plan in future will be very much be to continue writing books. I think I just felt like I needed a bit of headspace to decide what I want to write and not.
Well, it's so hard as well, because I think like the Mumsy Mum book and the follow up, they say so much.
Yes.
And so they can be read continuously, like anyone who has a child, buy it for them, you know, because I think it really does help, and that message will always be there.
Yeah.
You know, there might not necessarily be, you don't need to have another book next year to say that.
Well, no,
same
it's
thing,
like I'm having all these like you know, worries and feelings and stuff about pregnancy that I'm literally thinking, somebody sent me a message the other day, like after they'd seen me kind of having some kind of a you know, panic about something, and they sent me a message, you need to go back and read like chapter 5 of your first book. This is, and it's like, I've gone back to square one again a little bit, but
the boys are looking forward to it.
They are really looking forward to it. Yeah, they are. Henry was not when we had Jude, so Henry going from being an only child to a big brother, he wasn't quite three. He was about two and a half, and he wasn't happy about having a little brother at all. In fact, Henry blanked me for about 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah, he wouldn't give me any cuddles. He wouldn't come sit on the sofa with me. He wouldn't even look at his baby brother. He would just talk to his dad. It was like his way of punishing me.
Oh, my
gosh. If I wasn't emotional enough already, like sat in my dressing gown blob on the sofa with my boobs out, like, oh, my God. But he didn't warm to Jude at all. Because babies are really rubbish when you're two and a half. But they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are like they are a little bit rubbish anyway. You know,
they're fine for a cuddle.
They're squishy and they smell so good. Yeah. I mean, apart from when they don't, obviously. Henry's super excited about being the biggest brother, and he keeps telling everybody, you know, I'm going to have two brothers, and I'm going to be a bit older than both of them. Like he's quite, you know. And also, I had to explain to him the other day that will always be the case. I think he had worried that when Jude had a birthday, that Jude would start catching up with him, and I had to explain that no, because he gets older every year as well. But yeah, no, they are super excited. I'm excited / borderline hysterical about the prospect of having three boys in the house plus a grown up boy, like the outnumberedness. Oh. It's just gonna be hysterical. But
have you been bored of everyone asking the whole girl question? You want a girl?
Do you know, I kind of expected people, when I made a pregnancy announcement, I expected that people would, that I would get weeks of, oh, I bet you're hoping for a girl.
Yeah.
So when I put a post on Facebook or whatever to say we're having a baby, I'd already found out that we were having a boy.
Aww.
So it was just like straight in with,
right.
We're having boy number three. It's interesting because when I had... We found out every time, and we're not very good with surprises. And when I found out that I was having Jude, I wrote a post that I think was, you know, possibly fairly controversial. That was like what you're not allowed to wish for, which was that I had really kind of hoped that we would have a girl. And then the screen was just like basically William Balls. That's basically all we could see on the screen, and we were like, okay. And I wrote this post kind of once I'd come to terms with my feelings, saying that actually, I think we should be allowed to kind of allow ourselves to have a moment if you're having a moment. Mm. And the moment for me, I think, was just at that point thinking, because I thought we'd only ever have two.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking, not that I was in any way disappointed that I was having another boy, but just in that moment in time thinking, I'll never have a daughter. And I think having lost my own mum when I was a teenager, I'd always imagined kind of recreating the mother-daughter thing. So there was an element of, oh. But then, of course, I realised Jude came along and I realised it's not two of the same at all, because they're not the same. They're like, so then, from that point, when me and James were discussing whether or not we were going to have another one, we would hysterically laugh, because we would just be like, are we ready for boy number three? We just knew it would be another boy. So there was no trying for a girl or eating strange foods or trying different positions and all the stuff that people tell you that they do. But I don't know if it works. We were just like...
Doesn't it sound like the guy has to go in a cold bath or something?
I don't know. I did read something on the internet recently. It was a study. I don't know where it came from or if it was, you know, factually correct. So don't... Quote me on it.
Don't start doing weird things.
No, don't start doing weird things. But there was something that said women that eat a high calorie diet are more likely to have boys.
So
high five that. But I don't know if that's at all true. I mean, it came up on some newspaper thing, and I just chuckled to myself. I thought that would be about right. If I'd laid off the Mackie D's, I might have had an army of girls. But no.
Well, the healthy women of the land go, yes, that's correct. Yeah. We have girls.
Yeah. Then my dad was like, well, that's not true, because your mother ate rubbish and she had two girls, so that's nonsense. So okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I get asked all the time whenever, you know, people ask about the next child, they're always like, and because you're after a girl, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like, no, actually.
I really feel it's like with Colleen Rooney at the moment.
Oh, gosh.
I just feel like she'll never be allowed to just be like, well, actually, I know I'm having another baby because we want another baby.
Yeah.
We want to add to our family.
Yeah.
There'll always be speculation of, oh, well, you know, bet you're hoping. And do you know what? So what if she has got a little glimmer of, oh, it would be nice to have a girl. It doesn't mean she'd be unhappy to have a boy.
No.
I just think. But yeah, people are very forthright with their opinions on things, aren't they? So,
yes. Yeah. Especially in the world of social media.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So... each podcast will be finished with you completing three sentences for me, Sarah.
Okay.
You know what? I've heard them before, so let's go.
Okay.
Being a mum means?
Putting other people before yourself at all times. And I guess never again having an easy night's sleep. No. Yeah, something like that.
And since becoming a mum, I
have... a terrible pelvic floor.
Oh. gosh, it's not going to get any better.
It's not going to get any better. It actually isn't. Yeah, I know. This is a genuine threat. Piss myself laughing, like people say, is this could
it's
happen.
It's a real thing now.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm happy when?
I'm happy when I am outdoors with my family. In our own little family bubble, yeah. Outside, that everything seems easier outdoors.
It does.
I'm unhappy when we're all in the living room and they're wrestling. That's when I'm unhappy.
Sarah, you have been amazing, as I knew you would be. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You've been a delight.